All right, we're in action.
All right.
Dear Jesus, we lift up the end to you today. We just, you've been speaking to us all morning. We get tired and we get weary at times and we lose concentration. So I just pray that we don't lose concentration. I pray that we listen to the words that Dan's been told by God. This is something that's been coming for a while and we just put all our trust in you, Jesus. That the words he says is going to infiltrate us. That they're important words, words that we need to hear, words that we need to grab a hold of, words that will change us. And we just pray that we grab a hold of it and actually do what you want us to do. It's about your will, it's not about our will. And we just need to remember that. Amen.
Amen.
Well, good morning. Steve, can you find the scripture in Matthew 10? Verse 19 and 20, please. Everything that's been said so far this morning, it goes exactly to what God is putting on me. It's amazing how God works in our lives when we want Him to. And it's amazing how God, He won't work in our life when we don't want Him to. Something, ain't it? It's called a choice. It's called free will. And we all have it. And it's a gift from God.
And say Matthew 10, 19?
19 and 20. I'm going to try to be as gentle as I can. I know the Spirit is gentle. The Spirit is also convicted. Sometimes Jesus was a little harsh. He did use the word hypocrite before to people. I believe it was Peter, who told him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." So sometimes the Word of God is not gentle. It's always loving, but not always gentle to us. What we call gentle, anyways. But in this scripture right here, as you can read it, and I bet you can probably even read it better than I can, because unfortunately, I didn't behave in school very well. I messed around too much. I failed to learn how to read and spell as well as most. But God is good. God will give us abilities that we need in life anyways when we lean on Him. And this right here, when He was speaking to me about the message, okay, it talks about when we do speak, when we go out to even speak to somebody, it's not us. At least it shouldn't be. And we got to be careful of that. You've all had a chance to read that? Can you go to 20? Oh, you didn't? Okay. See, speak by the Spirit of your Father. Is speaking through you. So that is my goal here today, is to just let God speak through me. Okay, I don't want my flesh in this at all. I am going to try ever so hard not to let my flesh get in the way. I'm going to totally try to live in the Spirit. Heather was saying this morning, if I can remember correctly, she was saying some words about being prepared for this message. I was preparing. But how did I prepare? Right there. Normally, things will come to you. You'll have certain thoughts in your head that you want to say, or whatever, certain scriptures
that you want to read. And if you'll notice, I don't even have a Bible with me. This is all I brought. And I know for a fact this is all I was supposed to bring. And I'll share it with you, because I think it's very important, because even this goes along with some things that Chris was saying about how that song, he heard it three times right in a row, and he says, I get it. Okay? Sometimes it might take us three times, sometimes it might take us 100 times, sometimes hopefully it only takes us one time. Okay? I do them all. You know, I'm not perfect. I don't claim to be perfect. Rumor has it that some people think that I think that I'm perfect, but I'm not. Let me clarify that right now. If anybody here thinks that I'm more righteous than anybody else, then you don't know me. You don't know my heart. In fact, if you think of somebody else in a wrong way, you know what? The problem's not wrong with them. The problem is wrong with you. And if I do it, the problem is me. It's my heart. And that's really the only heart, in a sense, we have to be concerned about. But once you get your heart right with God, He'll show you in those areas that you struggled, failed in, but He's helped you overcome them. Then He will show you how to do that in others. The scripture says that. It says, do not judge, you too will be judged. And the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I don't know if you guys ever thought about that, but who's doing the judging? Is it God who's going to judge us? Or is it the person for us judging them? Well, if they don't know we're judging them, then it's probably God who's going to judge us. And it goes on saying, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and pay no attention to that plank, that huge plank that sticks out of your eye? I mean, the one that when I walk around, you guys probably all going to duck, you know what I mean? Because you're going to get hit with it. It's a huge plank. But he says, when you get that plank out of your eye, and I'm assuming that he means, like, well, if it's in alcohol or lying, you get rid of that. Then you'll see clearly how to take the speck out of your brother's eye. You've experienced it. You've gone through it. You know how God helped you get out of it. Now you can go to them and help them. Because you're going to do it in a godly way. Back to this. Why is this the only thing I have? Because this whole message started on this. One morning I'm sitting down and I'm reading this, and it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I won't go into all the details how that all happened. But I do want to let you know how I know this is all I needed. Is, and I tell you, I get so emotional, so touched when God moves in my life. The love that He shows us, it's mind-boggling. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, you guys are probably going to say, Dan, you're a lunatic for believing this. But I'll tell you what. I kind of doubted, wondered, Should I have my Bible with me today, just in case? Well, the scripture's gone. But that takes away from that, doesn't it? I'm coming. Don't take this wrong, okay? Because we do have to be prepared for certain things, okay? Don't take it out of context, please. This is just specifically for this message, and like when we go out and preach to somebody, or speak to somebody. If you spend time with God, you know God's word, you read his word, it's in him. And that's what he's saying. Okay, it's in him. He's going to give it to us. So, but that would be my flesh want to bring it, doubting God. Well, I finally get over that. I'm like, okay, I know I'm not supposed to bring my Bible. So, then this morning, who shows up? The enemy. As I'm reading my Bible, and I'm like, well, maybe I still will bring it and set it in my seat. Then if I need it, I can run back. Well, this is the strange part. Okay? This is, you can believe it or not. But this week, I saw 7 deer. And you're like, Dean, 7 deer, so what? Well, the number 7 is completion in God. What's that a picture of? What is that a picture of? Deer. And where was that? When the enemy was attacking me? In my Bible. To go back to fear and doubt, the only way that I am standing up here through the grace of God, and I decided that that's what I'm going to do, is what God is saying. The fear that's in me, it's still in here, trust me. My heart was beating 90 miles a minute when I came up here. Am I absolutely comfortable being up here? No. But what am I doing? I am fighting fear. I am fighting it. Why am I fighting it? Because God has called us to fight it. God did not give us the spirit of fear more than a choice. And some of you are probably saying, what? Fear is a choice? Yes. It's a feeling and emotion, but it's a choice we have if we feed it or fight it. I chose to fight it. And I know I can, but like I said, not in the flesh, but in Christ. It's the only way I can do it. I tried it before. I used to be big, strong. Didn't think that I was afraid of anything. I wasn't afraid of a man, by no means. Didn't need to be. But I was still gripped by fear. I lived in confusion. Sometimes I still do live in confusion. I bet you sometimes we all live in confusion. Wasn't that word used this morning? Being confused? God is trying to speak to us today, isn't he? He really is. I hope we're listening. I hope we can all be taught. Well, if it's putting the thing back here on this side, or if it's the word from God to be taught. I think we all have capability of being taught. I believe we do. I question sometimes what prevents me from being taught. And I guess if I'm truthful with myself, I would have to say, well, maybe a little bit of pride, a little bit of arrogance. You know, like, nah, I know better than you. You don't know what you're talking about. You may not say that to somebody, but might think it. Might have the thought like, who do you think you are? Our minds are funny, ain't they? I know mine is. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does that mean, not to want? What's it mean to want? God showed me that my wants get in His way of me following Him, if He's my shepherd. This shirt right here, it says, before you turn your back on Jesus, take a look at it. And I believe what He showed me is when I want something, my want turns my back to Him, my face away from Him. It could be a desire. It could be a habit. And not just one time, but every time I do it. And I'm not saying that there's not things in life that we need, because there is. We need food. We have to eat. But the Lord is my provider. You know, you need a job, you need to work. God will provide. He'll provide that job. I know He will. Maybe a lot of things I don't know. But that one, it's another one of those things that just touches me, how God has provided for me for so long. See, I don't have a 7 to 3:30 job like most people, or a 9 to 5. Since I was 21 years old, I started my own business, me and my wife. And in a sense, I have to rely on getting work, you know. And God has always provided work for me. Sometimes it was tough, but He is faithful, He is true, and He is just. And I know that I'm probably jumping around a lot. And it's because there's multiple people here in different places of their life. And God has shown me this, that we're not all in the same place. I need a certain word. You need a certain word. He needs a certain word. She needs a certain word. And that's another reason why
It is so important that when God puts something on our heart, when somebody is speaking, or if you're with somebody, that we say it. Because we don't know who we bless 90% of the time, probably. We don't know how much water we're adding to that seed. We don't know the seed that we may be planting.
Can I say another thing?
You sure can.
I won't interrupt you too much.
Well, that's okay.
When you were talking about the deer earlier, I'd say probably a couple months ago now, I went to bring my grandparents home, to the nursing home, and I was coming back and I was feeling really empty, and I just kind of cried out to the Lord and said, please, you know, fill me. Are you really here? And I was asking him, and I was knowing it, but at the same time, that bit of doubt was there. Are you really here? Are you really there? And since our father passed, probably a little over six years ago now, we were on our way down to the funeral home after this had happened. All of us piled into a van, and right up on between Pittsburgh and Colebrook, there's all these ledges.
Yes.
There, and where they put a flag now, like a U.S. flag, and there was this deer, this buck, standing there with huge
horns
on his head, and ever since then, deer have been something that when I see them, I know that my dad is there. And then my mom passed 2 years after that to the month of my father, and then I started to see deer together. And every time I did, whether I was running down here in the morning or whatever, I'd see these deer, and I would just I would feel like God was speaking to me. I would just feel it. And I would always doubt it. I'd be like, Heather, you're crazy or whatever. And
yeah.
So I'm coming back, a couple months ago from the nursing home, and I said, Lord, I'm doubting right now, but at the same time, I know you're there. And please forgive me, Lord, but I'm asking you to give me a sign. I'm asking you to show me. And I come, down by, I call it the Green Palace down here. Paula Lebrecht owns this green barn right up here.
The green barn?
On the left. And I'm coming down just at the beginning of that. And that's usually where I see deer. So I'm looking and I'm going, Lord, just show me a deer. Just show me a deer if you want me to know that you're here with me. And the music's blaring. I have 93.9 on and I'm crying and all of this. And I'm going on and on and looking crazy to anybody who probably was looking along, like a nutcase. And I'm coming down here, no deer. And I look behind these people's house right across here. Sometimes you see deer there. And I get all the way down, almost to my house on the corner here, where I was just like, okay, I'm not going to see any. I never see deer up there. And all of a sudden, I feel like everything stopped around me. And I look up. And I don't even know how I didn't go off the road or something. It was dark. And I look up, and not one, not two, three deer all of a sudden whip their heads around. And all I saw was their faces and their big beaming eyes look at me.
Oh, my God.
And all I saw was the head and looked right at me like I had goosebumps. Just like God right there looking right into me, and saying, I am here. And what came on the radio right at that time as well, he knew I needed even a little more because I was going to doubt that. And that song, I asked for your proof and you said that you'd give me a sign. I asked for your proof and you said that you'd give me a sign.
Yeah. Awesome.
That one there. And all of a sudden like that just came out and I was just like, I kept driving. I don't know how I didn't crash, and I get up the road and I'm like, did that really just, it was surreal. It was, everything stopped and just the power of God was right there. And I meant to say it that Sunday and I'm like, oh, I just had that kind of
thing. I know exactly what you're saying.
Today, Heather's yapping again. And
yep.
But I just said, something, is this the time that maybe God wants me to say? So you're not the only crazy one who sees deer and kind of things of God or whatever, but he was speaking,
He is. And the nice thing about it, like what he showed me this morning, when he showed that to me, you might as well have parted the sea for me. And I'm serious. He might as well have. It may be little to some.
Yeah.
You know? It may not seem like nothing to some people. But to me, he parted the waters for me this morning. He did. And I, maybe it's because of my love for him. You know? I know he loves me. I need to love him. How do we know we love God? Can you put up John 14, verse 23?
Yeah, well, that's going up. Can I just say something about it? Once. Mm-hmm. In the Bible, you know, it talks a lot about, in quite a few places, it talks about rich people having a hard time to get into the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And really, it's not because they're rich, because they have money, per se.
No.
It's because their wants all get fulfilled. They don't need God or Jesus. They go out and buy whatever they want. And like you were saying, a lot of times is when you get everything you want, or you're pursuing all you want, you're turning your back on your reliance on God, on Jesus. And so that is why it says in the Bible that a rich man is hard to enter the kingdom of God. And then I was listening to a preacher actually last weekend. And he was saying how rich we are in this country. And we're in the world, if you take it for the world, even at middle class or even lower class, we're the top 25% earners, rich people in the world. So if you put it all together about wants and rich people and how hard it is to get into the kingdom of heaven, throw that into a little mix, and it makes you kind of a little leery on your wants. And we all have our wants, but it's what we do with them that makes the biggest difference.
Mm. You know, a lot of the message is based on our fear. I really believe that I am not the only one that battles fear. I really believe that. God is trying to use me, if you can somehow comprehend how fearful I really am, that so I could be like maybe a witness or something, that we can break through this fear. When I was in school, when you had to get up and give a presentation or anything or even speak, I would not do it.
Take the zero on the end.
I did. I took the zero. I took the F. I'm telling you, folks, I would not do it. For me to stand here in front of a group of people and speak is a total miracle. It's God, but it's me being obedient, fighting that fear. If I can do anything, encourage you guys to just keep breaking out of your fear. Keep breaking out of that fear. Break that fear. Break those walls. Let's see if we can read this up here. Says Jesus, what's that next word?
Answered
and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Can you go to the next one, Steve?
Mm-hmm.
who does not love me will not keep my word. Boy, we could go in some deep stuff on that, couldn't we? Maybe we'll stop there for a minute. I mean, we just sang a song. We believe. We believe. How well do you and I keep God's word? How well do we know Christ? Did Christ have a lie?
No.
Did Christ ever talk bad of somebody? Did Christ ever get drunk? Did Christ even ever overeat? Have you or I done that? Have we done it recently? Especially maybe lie. We say we're Christians. Doesn't the word Christian mean Christ-like? Maybe we don't know God as well as we think we do. Or to rely on the fact that we're saved by grace. But saved by grace is not a bad thing. But do we abuse it? And what does that do to us when we abuse our grace? What does God do to us when we abuse that grace? The word says that God chastises those whom he loves, which is a discipline. And I'll speak for myself that I know for a fact God has disciplined me. And I've actually come to learn to enjoy it. Believe it or not, I like it when God chastises me when I'm wrong. You know why? Because he loves me. Exactly. And I know it. I know it in my heart. And that's how come I can appreciate it, I guess. And he keeps me on that straight and narrow path. And it makes it easier for me to obey his commandments because I love him. If I don't obey his commandments, just prior to that, he's the one that told me that I don't love him. I mean, I would never say that because I'm too shy. But God says that Dan, I'll use my name. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. You will keep them. If you love me. So I guess it's pretty important to keep that word as a Christian, as somebody who believes in God. And we can. Remember we talked about free will earlier? It's a choice. I don't have to lie. I don't have to talk bad about somebody. I don't have to ridicule, make jokes of people. And neither do you. Nobody does. It's a choice. And when the Spirit of God is in us, we know better. We do. And if we do it, and we don't repent from it, shame on us. I mean, if you're not born again, then you do it, and it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. I mean, your soul, it matters to God. So don't take that wrong. But I was blessed this week, speaking of repentance. I was very blessed. I heard with my own ears of a man repenting from his sins last week. Man, did that touch me. It really touched me. And with that type of attitude, that person who repented, he's going to go a long ways with God. And I also hear here in this town, there's a lady who's doing some things wrong. And she repented on her own. A true repentance. You know, in a sense, this town's blessed to have a person like that. Because I'll tell you what, that's the kind of person I want on my team. That'd be the kind of person that I'd want working for me. And soon, if you know God, that's the kind of person you would want. Because that's the kind of person God has called you and I to be. It's amazing how all these things have transpired in such a short period of time for God to speak to us today. And I know it's really hitting home with some of us. Because I know that there's some really good hearts in this place. I could sense it this morning sitting back there. It was unbelievable. It's amazing. But God doesn't want us to stay here, does He? He wants us to keep going. Wants us to keep fighting the good fight of faith. And we can. I know we can. Especially if we stick together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Like we are. If we're born again, we are brothers and sisters in Christ, whether you like it or not. And when I die, I'm going to heaven. When you die, you're going to heaven. And we're going to have to put up with each other for eternity. I heard a guy say that one time. He says, if you don't like me now, you should get used to me. Because you're going to spend eternity with me. And it's so true. It's so true. You know, I hope somehow that you guys can really see how fearful I am to do this, and probably how fearful you would be to do this. But we need to step out. We need to step out into our schools, like they were saying.
Dan, I had things going through my mind ever since you started speaking. And I know some of where you've been, but God knows. And there's a little chorus to a song that goes, it really doesn't matter where you've been, and it really doesn't matter what you've done. I'm making something beautiful of your life, and I've only just begun.
This woman has blessed me so much. I remember one day when I gave my testimony and she came up and she told me, she goes, you don't have to feel ashamed. Shame is not yours. Now, you're some wonderful people. It really is. I mean, I'm thankful to be part of this family. I really am. And I can honestly look out at everyone here and say, you know what? I have zero bitterness towards any of you. Why should I? Regardless if you say something against me, if you don't like some of the stuff I say or do, because I respect you. I respect your opinion. Probably not going to listen to it. I'll be honest. And I don't want anybody to ever listen to my opinion unless it lines up with the Word of God. And that's how I live my life. Let's see if we've made it all the way through this one. Steve, can you go down one more, please? One more verse. That was one really important one. Can you go one more, please? I want to get down to one where it talks about his peace. But all right, his peace. This is what God has left for us. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives you. Let's see. Gives you. Your heart must not be troubled or fearful. How many times has that been said today already? This is the scripture I was reading this morning. This is the scripture that God brought me to. It's not a coincidence. It's really not. And that peace, my peace I give to you. God showed me to get through this, that if I hang on to that peace, if I do not let my heart be troubled, I can hang on to that peace. Or fearful, if I override that fear. So how can we do it? How can we always have God's peace? The answer is right there. Right there. Don't let our hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. And we can have God's peace that he's given us. But that's a choice too. It's a choice. We all got a lot of choices to make. I hope and pray that we make the right choices. Reg, can you do that singing now? I've got one song I want you guys to hear. To me, it's a wonderful song. And it's really speaking not only how I should live, but I guess in a way how I want to live. But there's that word want, how I want to live. But the only reason why I want to live that way in Christ is because the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. We got to make sure that we do not turn our backs on Christ. When we do, because I know we're going to, let's spin back around quickly. You know, be careful what you say to your wife. Be careful what you say to your husband. There's no need, really, to be angry at your spouse. Unless they're sinning, you can have righteous anger. But you know the small things in life that aggravate us sometimes? Let them go. For the love of God, let's have some peace. Let's grab a hold of that peace that God has given us. And in the body, as brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, I mean, why should we be at odds with one another? Because I might have a different opinion, or you might have a different opinion. It's just an opinion. It amounts to nothing, in a sense. I'm not talking about God, if we're speaking God's word. I'm talking about opinions. Because if we all have one mind, God says to be like-minded. And it's the word of God. To obey God. To love God. And why can't we get along? Why? Why can't we do right? We can. We can. But sometimes we listen to Satan, our other father. That's what the Bible calls him. The other father. And we're only going to listen to one at a time. We're only going to be obedient to one or the other. Just because we're born again does not mean that we won't listen to him. That's why the word says resist the devil. Because he's going to come after us. Matter of fact, he's going to come after us more than he is in the world. John Hagee says this: some people don't have enough of Christ in them for a used demon to chase them. So why go after somebody who doesn't live for God? He's going to spend time on those who are trying to live for God. Want to play that song, Reg? For you. doesn't happen overnight. At least it didn't for me. It's been quite a few years I've been walking with God. But I'll tell you, when God came to me that day, I don't remember the month. I don't remember exactly the year. It was either 92 or 93. And he showed me that there was more to life than the way that Dan Demers was living. And he was right. And ever since that day, he has been changing me. He has been growing inside of me. He has been growing me up. And he's right. There is more to life than the way I was living. And I know that for a fact. I know it. There's no doubt. I don't have to look back. I don't have to say, boy, I wish I was back in that life. Instead, I thank God that I'm not. That cross is more than enough for me.
Well,
I want to thank you guys for coming, even knowing that I was going to be here. I appreciate it.
I want to thank the Lord for what he's done for Dan. And I want to thank Dan for standing up here and helping us understand and being faithful to God. And I want to thank him.
Thank you, Bob. I've always said this. If I can do it, you can do it. I don't know if it's true. It's my opinion, so you don't have to listen to it. But, Father, I want to thank you, God. I want to thank you, God, from the bottom of my heart. What you do in our lives. If we just open those doors up to let you in. God, if we open up that closet of shame, bitterness, resentment, anxiety, fear. Lord, whatever we hold in that closet, sin, past regrets, any type of affliction. If we open that closet up, God, and let you in, you are so faithful and just to heal us. To break these chains that bind us. God, I pray that everyone who is listening, whoever hears these words, if they haven't done that, Father God, that they do it. That they open up that closet. When we stand before you, Father, it's going to be open. It's going to be revealed. We might as well do it now. So we can be set free completely. So we can stand before men and not be ashamed and not be afraid. They can't accuse us of anything because there's nothing hidden. It'll help us with our boldness. It'll help us in our testimony. And it'll help others to see your love and your grace and your mercy. God, I pray that we all step out. Just step out in faith. And break that fear, the chain of fear that binds us for your glory, God. Pray that we all do it for your glory.